Sequestration could mean $1 trillion in budget cuts over the next decade. How do you get your head around such a whopping figure? As CEO of Lockheed Martin, Robert Stevens runs the government's largest contractor. He says preparing for those cuts can only be done in the abstract, but the consequences are much more concrete. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, who joins me now to talk about how contractors like Lockheed Martin are preparing for the possibility of sequestration. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
So tell me a little bit about the consequences of sequestration from industry's point of view.
Well, obviously there's many and there's a lot of big ones. And we've talked about these time and again over the last few months. But the one area where Lockheed Martin CEO Robert Stevens talked about just yesterday was one I haven't heard much about before, and that's really what it's going to cost the government if sequestration hits. Now, we know that sequestration hits, it's going to be about $1 trillion over 10 years in cuts to the federal budget, but these are going to roll down to contractors who are going to roll it back up to the government. So Stevens says cuts to the program could lead to vendors actually asking the government for an equitable adjustment to their contracts.
Many people have stretched throughout our supply chain to lower their costs and provide the most affordable prices for this high technology equipment. They've done that with an expectation within reasonable boundaries of what the future business environment is likely to look like. If sequestration occurs in January, which again is the law, those expectations upon which that cost and pricing structure have been built will be completely off the table. The question will be, how will the contracts be modified? And when we have a modification of our contracts, we're going to come out and rephase and reschedule, in our case, up to 40,000 suppliers. My sense is those 40,000 suppliers will say, that's a business disruption, and we're going to provide a claim to you for the adverse impact, adverse cost impact of the disruption in that business. It's happened before, even when individual contracts are modified.
Now, Stevens says he has not heard any discussion how those requests would be managed by the government, and he says it's unclear to Lockheed Martin, to their suppliers, to obviously other vendors, how this process could work, and that is putting everyone under a lot of pressure. Now, Stevens says Lockheed, or really any other prime contractor, works with the government on a program. They start discussing the timing, the strategy, how everything's going to play out, and he says any change to that plan really does have a snowball effect across all tiers of the supply chain and then really back up to the government.
When we early on, working with our government counterparts, conceptualize how a program is going to unfold, volume, quantity, timing, capabilities are all part of that. Very clearly, as we move through programs, when that volume is reduced, in many cases, we and our suppliers have provided an element of capital investment to produce a rate over a period of time. When we don't produce at that rate, we've apparently over-applied the assets, which drives up the unit cost. So that is a phenomenon that I think is broadly observed across all platforms throughout our industry, and it is a concern, and it is an element that drives up the cost of programs.
Now, of course, all the new programs, as the new cost gets pushed back to the government, so if sequestration happens, even though it's about $100 billion a year in forced cuts, that will actually be reduced because of those increasing costs for products and services that the government will end up paying.
Jason, let me ask you, where was he speaking?
This was at a media day that Lockheed held yesterday, and they showed off all their wares and all their great technologies. But really, the Stevens, who's the outgoing CEO, is really kind of one of his, if you will, not last appearances before the media, but it was definitely his last media day. He doesn't retire to the end of December.
Okay, so as part of his plan, his parting thoughts, did he say how the company was planning for sequestration should it happen?
Well, the short answer is they're not. At least they're not doing it publicly, and they're not doing it well publicly. Stephen says, that he really did bang the same drum we've heard from Defense Department officials, from other administration officials, about that, sequestration's bad, it can't happen, this would be, be an awful thing for the government, for industry. And so it's really kind of this, I think, a concerted effort from across the board to really put pressure on Congress. Now, there's only 196 days remaining until sequestration takes effect, and Stevens says industry has no idea how it's going to be implemented.
We do know we have responsibilities under the law in addition to sequestration. For example, the Worker Adjustment and Renotification Act that is in place, called the WARN Act, requires people like us when we're going to engage either in plant closings or significant layoffs to notify workers. It's part of the standards that we are held to, and therefore that establishes a framework where we're compelled to start talking to employees, 123,000 of them, 40,000 suppliers, which you might guess all of whom want to know, am I going to have a job in January and am I going to have a contract in January? And the answer from us today is we're not clear about that.
Now, Stephen says Lockheed has taken several steps over the last year or so in recognition of the changing federal spending environment. Chris Kubasik, it will take over for Stevens when he retires at the end of the year.
Things that we've already publicly announced, like closing the Eagan, Minnesota facility. We're doing a lot of consolidation in the Fort Worth area. We have numerous facilities that are being consolidated right up the road here in Montgomery County. We have numerous leases off 270 that we're consolidating. So that's the plan that we have in place based on our business outlook and our drive to continue to be more efficient. If sequestration were to occur, there would be additive numbers to that at locations yet to be identified.
Now, Lockheed has already reduced about 1.5 million square feet of office space and said that they would like to reduce another 2.9 million square feet by the end of 2014. So they've seen the handwriting on the wall. They've seen that the budgets are tightening, that they're not going to have, there's not going to be as many contracts, there's many big contracts. So they're trying to take steps already. But if sequestration happens, Stevens was clear. He said, we're not going to do a across-the-board cut like many agencies may have to. It's going to be much of what we've already been doing and maybe an accelerated or at an increased pace.
So did they mention layoffs, anything like that, in terms of the cuts to jobs?
No, they were very, very careful not to touch that third rail, if you will, because any story that pops says, well, we may have to do layoffs, you know, that's going to all of a sudden, that would trigger kind of the worry and the concern. Now, they were clear to say, listen, we've already cut the workforce, we've slowed hiring, we've already done some of these, but as for what the future holds, they really stayed out of that area.
So beyond sequestration, which a lot of people think, despite time running out, is not going to happen, at least not in the way that it's set out in current law. So beyond that, did Mr. Stevens offer any more insight into the state of the federal market?
There was a little discussion about things like the F-35 or you know, some contracts and internationally, or how Lockheed's kind of trying to move away just from the U.S. market to the international market. But there was not a lot of things from a non-sequestration point of view, especially from the CEO level. Now, I did get a chance to ask him for a comment on the industry and government communication, and actually this is just followed up from the question you asked IBM head of federal Todd Ramsey last week about the Mythbusters campaign. In your interview, just as a reminder, as you all know, Ramsey says the Mythbusters campaign is not working as well as it could, and it's more show than substance. So basically I said to Mr. Stevens the same thing, and he says the communication with government has been at a high level for a long time.
We're encouraging more discussion now, and it has everything to do with uncertainty. We think as the time span of discretion gets shorter, as the consequences get more severe, we ought to be talking to one another more frequently. We've had questions in the room today about research and development or continuity of programs or the quality of our supply chain. We ought to be talking more about how this future is likely to look and how we can, within our proper boundaries, accommodate one another with respect to that future. The more we communicate, the better alignment we have.
Now, he points to an example of a persistent threat detection system for DOD, and that goal of that system was to get better situational awareness in Afghanistan at those forward operating bases. Now, he says Lockheed Martin and DOD worked together to get those first set of systems out into the field, what he says in record time. And he says the only reason we could do that is because of that communication, of that relationship. Interestingly, later in the day, I also got a chance to meet with Linda Gooden, who is Lockheed's executive vice president. And she says communication has never been better now than now, which I found it very interesting, where you have two major companies, IBM and Lockheed, and they see the communication very differently. So I thought that was a nice little just shows how different people view the market. Beyond that question, really, you know, Stevens and Kubasik spent most of the day answering questions about sequestration, cuts to the DOD budget. So it's obviously that's on top of mind both for us reporters and for those in industry.
That's really interesting. Todd Ramsey from IBM, he made reference to something that I believe DHS officials said about being wary of saying too much to contractors. And here you have Lockheed working with the Defense Department. So do you think perhaps it comes down to just the interpersonal connections and who they're actually working with?
You know, I think that Todd Ramsey had a moment of candor, and I think Lockheed Martin is a very sterile organization.
And it was media day.
So I think that they put a good face on it, and it's hard to say if Lockheed does have those problems. Now, obviously, if Bob Stevens or you know, the CEO of Lockheed calls up and says he wants to talk to the head of procurement, that person jumps to attention and calls back right away. But, you know, so I even asked Linda Gooden, again, lower down the level, or her business development people find it more difficult. And she said, no, we have very good relationships and we have very meeting. So I think that Mr. Ramsey was a little more candid, and I think Lockheed was a little more guarded.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jason.
Always a pleasure.